Okay. Chav Chesem and Aleph. We're in the process of dealing with the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan talked about two widows. And the last sheet that we had of Rav Yochanan was Mesa Shnia Mutar Barishona. This is Chav Zayin Amud Beis, right? Mesa Rishona Asur Bishnia. And he had this concept, Rav Yochanan had a concept, Kol Shei Yavama, Shani Kori Baba Shas Nefila, Yavama Yavala, Harzu Kei Shazis, Heishasach, Sheish Labanim, right? So if at the moment that the Yavama fall, if the husband dies at that moment, the Yavam is unable to marry the Yavama for whatever reason, then that woman will remain like an Eishasach Sheish Labanim, meaning that we don't operationalize Yivam in those cases. So Tanan, middle of Chav Chesem and Aleph at the two dots. Haisa Achaz Man Asur Al Echad Isur Erva. Still dealing with two sisters married to two brothers, and one of the sisters is an erva to one of the brothers. Obviously not the one that, right, obviously not the one that he's married to. But, right, so Rachel and Leah are married to Reuven and Shimon, right? So Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah, and Leah is Reuven's mother-in-law, right? His other wife's mother, right? So that's an erva. So what happens there? So obviously, achas mehana asur al echad isur erva. One of the sisters is forbidden, is an erva to one of the brothers. Asur ba mutar bachosa, right? So obviously, Reuven cannot do yibam with his mother-in-law, even though his mother-in-law is also his brother's wife. But he's permitted to do yibam with the other wife, right? Vasheni asur b'shteyan. But the other way around, meaning Shimon, right? Actually, right, Reuven and Shimon are the surviving brothers. And I guess maybe we should do Levi and Yehuda, right? Reuven and Shimon were married to Rachel and Leah, and then Reuven and Shimon die, and they leave Levi and Yehuda, right? And in that case, you have to, one of them is an erva. So the surviving brother, one of the Yavamas is an erva, is permitted to the other, is allowed to do Yibum with the non-erva Yavama. However, the brother who's not an erva to either of the women, in that case, we don't allow you to do Yibum at all, because each widow is Zekuka Liyavam. Right? We know that there's an Isser Drabanan, not only of engaging in Yibum with a Zekuka Liyavam, right? Or the sister of or an erva of a Zekuka Liyavam, right? Right? So that's the case here. Both of the women are Zekuka Liyavam at the same time, and they're related to one another. And Midrabanan, we do not allow Yibam on either one, right? So Vasheni Asur B'Shteyan, right? The brother to whom is not erva to either of the women is not allowed to do Yibam with either of them. Salkadaitin, right? This is the assumption being Denafla Chamota Tchila, right? It's a case where the erva's spouse, the brother who is married to an erva of the surviving brother, one of them, died first. Became a Yavama first, right? And then only later did the non-erva become become because otherwise there could be there would be a problem if in other words, if the non-erva sister-in-law became a Yavama first, right? So then there's a Zika there, Zekukali of them. And then only later, when the Erva died, did it become a problem. So we are framing the idea that the brother who has an Erva sister-in-law can marry the non-Erva sister-in-law through Yibam only when the Erva became a Yavama first. Vamai, why is that? Why do we say that the non-Erva surviving brother, is not allowed to take either of the sisters? Why do we say that? Why can't we explain it as Leku Chasan Liabeim Hach Deina Chamosa Bereisha? Right? Let the brother who is an Erva to one of the Yavamas, right, is the son-in-law of one of them, go and take the one who's not his mother-in-law in Yibam to start. And then this Erva, right, we're saying that the Erva is a mother-in-law, right? So let's say this Erva will be considered to the other brother, who's the non-Erva brother, Vivama Shahutra, Vinesra Vachazra Vahutra, as Vivama, who was initially permitted because she, let's say, the mother-in-law, right, the Erva to Levi becomes a Yavama first. And that, at that moment, she's permitted to Yehuda because she's Yehuda's brother's wife and she's not an Erva to Yehuda. So at that moment, she is permitted. And then when her sister becomes a Yavama, then they're both forbidden. And then when his brother marries through Yibam the sister who's not an Erva to him, then this woman should be permitted again. In Tachzor Leteir Harishon, we say that a woman who initially was permitted, and then for whatever reason here, Midrabanan Zekukali Avam becomes prohibited. But then when the sister undergoes Yibam, we should allow the sister who's not an Erva to undergo Yibam with the other brother, leaving the Erva available to the brother, the brother who's not related. And that should return it back to being permissible, in which case it should be allowed. So why do we say that Yehuda, who's not related to either of the women through Erva, is not allowed to do Yibam on either one? No, orchestrated in such a way that he should be allowed to, based on this idea of Hutra Vinesra V'Chazra Lehetera, it becomes permissible. So Amar Rav Papa, Metzer Rav Papa explains, no, the reason why that doesn't work is the non-Erva sister-in-law became a Yavama first, right? And the Erva, the sister, the mother-in-law, who's also the sister-in-law, came second. And then then it doesn't work, right? Because in that case, at the moment of death, of the first, she was there isn't this case of Hutra Vinesra Vachazra Vahutra. She was always prohibited in that case, right? So the Okimta, the answer is the Okimta is such as that there was no point in which the sister-in-law slash the mother-in-law was permissible to the other brother. Okay. Next two dots. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar said in the Mishnah, this was a question, right? If two sisters are Yavamas to two brothers, there's no Erva here, right? So We say that each one is zakuka, and it's a derabanan to marry, for either of the brothers to marry either of the sisters who are widowed. And there was a machlokas, though, in nises, whether teitzei or not. Okay, we've had this in other settings. We've talked about it a number of times already, right? When there's an iser derabanan, like the zakuka liyavim case, do we say that if they went ahead and disregarded the iser derabanan, that they can stay married, or that the chazal, that the rabbanan require them to dissolve the marriage? We said it was a machlokas beisol beisham. Beishamai was actually makel here, that they were allowed to stay married, and beisol said they have to get divorced. Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Rabbi Lezer says beishamai omrim yikaimu. Rabbi Shammai says if brothers marry sisters that are yavamas but zakuka liyavam for each one, the rabbi said they shouldn't do it, but if they do it, they can stay married. So omrim yotziu, beisol says they have to divorce. Rabbi Shimon said yikaimu. Rabbi Shimon seems to weigh in and say, like Beis Shammai, that they can remain married. Abba Shol said, "Kal ha'el ha'el beis hillel b'davar zeh." Right? Abba Shol says it doesn't. It's not clear that he paskins this way. He says the tradition is merely that Abba Shol holds that beis hillel was lenient on this. Shabbos Shammai omrim yotziu, beis hillel omrim yakaimu. Because his tradition, right? Abba Shol's tradition is opposite of what we saw in the Mishnah, quoted in the name of Elazar. Abba Shaul has the tradition that Beis Shammai was strict, requiring a divorce when they got married in this fashion, violating the Issur Derabanan, and Beis Hillel is lenient. That's what we're more used to, right? But Rabbi Elazar said in the Mishnah that that's not the case here. Rabbi Shimon, come on. Who's Rabbi Shimon holding like, right? When he says Yikaimu. If he's holding like Beis Shammai, right? In other words, that Rabbi Shimon is lenient. Hainu Rabbi Lazar. That's Rabbi Lazar's opinion of Beis Shammai. Rabbi Lazar holds that Beis Shammai is lenient. Ike Beis Hillel. If Rabbi Shimon is following Beis Hillel, Hainu Abba Shaul. That's Abba Shaul's opinion, right? So we have a dispute between Abba Shaul and Rabbi Lazar in terms of which position matches up with which name, right? And we have Rabbi Shimon just saying Yikaimu, that they're allowed to stay married. Who is he going like? Beis Shammai, according to Rabbi Lazar, or Beis Hillel, according to Abba Shaul? So Hachi Kamar, the Gemara says Lo Nechleku. What Rabbi Shimon really meant when he said Yikaimu is Lo Nechaku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel B'davar Zeh, right? The reason why Rabbi Shimon doesn't attribute his position to anyone, because his opinion is that everyone agrees, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree, that if a person would violate this Derabanan, the two brothers, and go ahead and marry two sisters that are Yavamas, but Zekukal to each other, then they'd be allowed to stay married. Okay. Next two dots. 5-6 lines from the bottom of Chav Ches Amud Aleph. Ha'isachas mehen. The Mishnah went on and said, right? If a woman right. So if one of the yavamas is an erva, then the man's allowed to take the other sister. Hatanina Chadazimna. The Gemara asks, didn't we just talk about this? Isn't that already clarified in the previous piece where we said Achota Kishihi Yavimta Ochaletzes Omis Yabemes, the sister of the erva, who's also Yavama, you could do Chalitz or Yibum, right? So why do we have to repeat it here? Why do we have to repeat what seems to be the same case here, right? Where if there's an heir of a relationship with one of the sisters, he can do Yibum with one of the other sisters. So the Gemara answer is Tricha. No, we need both cases. We're going to have this paradigm a few more times. Diashmin and Hasam, because in that case, where Yibum was permitted, right? What's the deal? I might have thought, right? Why is it permitted there? Mishum, Deleka, Lemigzer, Mishum, Sheni. Right? Because in that case, there's only one brother. There's one surviving brother. We don't have to worry about the brother, another. We don't have to, there's no Gezerah that if we allow one brother to do Yibum legitimately, then the other brother will go ahead and do Yibum incorrectly. So that's why we have that case. But here, when you have two brothers that fell to two sisters in Yibum, Digla makes it with Shum Shani, even though one is allowed to marry through Yibum, the other one's not. So maybe we should say we don't allow either one because we're worried that if Chazal permit one brother to do so, the other brother will say, oh, it must be okay for me. Aim a low. We might say that therefore neither brother should be allowed to do Yibum. So that's why I need that case. V'yishmin ha'cha. If the Mishnah had only talked about the two brothers and two sisters case, they allowed Yibum with one because the second brother who doesn't engage in Yibum proves the idea that you can't take a Zakuka Liavam, or the sister of a Zakuka, excuse me. Abel Hasam Deleka Sheni. But in the other case where there is no second brother, right? So there is no clear indication that the sister of the Zakuka is not permitted. Amalo, we might have thought that the Chazal didn't allow any Yibum to take place here, lest people get the mistaken notion that had there been another brother, we would have allowed him to do Yibum with the sister of the Zakuka. Therefore, Tzricha, therefore the Mishnah needs to give both cases, right? To teach us that, that whether or not there's a second brother, the non-erva can undergo the sister of the erva, excuse me, can undergo yibum. Okay. Last line on Chaf Chesed Aleph, Isser Mitzvah. Right. So we had a couple more cases in the Mishnah. If a woman was an Isser Mitzvah, right, an Isser Derabanan, or an Isser Kedusha, right. So the sister of such a person can only do chalitza no yibum. Hanami tanina. So we say this is already clarified from an earlier lesson of the Mishnah. Chav chesam beis iser mitzvah v'iser kedusha chalitza zol misyabemes. Right. So we said this already. Right, so it's a similar approach. The Gemara wants to understand the necessity of each piece in the Mishnah. So we say no, it's different. Hasam iser mitzvah luchuda. In the previous Mishnah, we learned that that where there are no sisters, right? Where she was the only. She was the only woman involved. Here, hacha iser mitzvah achota, right? Here you have a second, you have a sister as well that fell to Yibum, and we say that even the sister of the iser mitzvah is not allowed either. It's halgadat achamina. Why do we need both? I might have thought, Lekum Isser Mitzvah, Makum Isser Erva, right? The Isser Mitzvah should stand in the place of an Isser Erva, right? What does Rashi say there? Right? The middle of Rashi's. Rashi says, "Leityabe machota hechadein iser mitzvah." Right, you should allow. Yibum for the sister of the iser mitzvah. Wait, no, that's not it. Right? So we might have thought that that the Isser Mitzvah should stand even with an Erva prohibition. It's a Tiabim, right? And the sister of the Isser Mitzvah should be allowed to undergo Yibum because the Isser Mitzvah since the Isser Mitzvah is only an Isser Drabanan, we might have said that the mandate to do Yibum stands even with the Isser Mitzvah, at least so far as allowing, right, since it's all Drabanan, right, the rabbis can kind of manipulate it a little bit. And that's what we're saying here, that we might have thought that the rabbis were not consistent and would have said that Isser Mitzvah was just an Isser Drabanan. So it might be so that the woman who's an Isser Mitzvah herself doesn't undergo Yibum, but her sister, who's only Achot Zekuka, right, which is also Drabanan, the rabbi said, no, in that case, right, maybe it's Trey Drabanans or however you want to understand it methodologically, but we would say that in such a situation, the sister of the Isser Mitzvah should be permitted. So Kamash Malan, we say no, that's not the case, right? Again, each of the cases we're going to see now is where the Mishnah talked about a case where it was just one woman, and then later on, the Mishnah talked about a case as it relates to the sister of that woman. And we want to know, why do you need both cases? So here the answer is because the woman herself, there's no Yibum because it's an Isser Mitzvah Derabanan. I might have thought that Derabanan does not extend to the sister of the Isser Mitzvah because that's also Derabanan. And the rabbis did not have to be consistent there. So Kamash Malah, no, they were. And there can only be Yibum. There cannot be Yibum, only Chalitza. V'tit Yabim. Came to me the right to Ram Yakame, right? You should think that the sister can undergo Yibum, because on a Deraisa level, like we just said, it's only on the Rabbanan level that the woman is precluded from Yibum, but on a Deraisa level, it remains Kapaga Bachota Zakuka. Right, but if he I'm sorry, this is a question. Are you suggesting, right, the whole premise of the previous explanation is that we might have thought that he would that essentially he should be allowed to do Yibum with the sister of the Isser Mitzvah because it's only Midrabanan, right? But we say no, the problem is that really a legitimate Havamina? Since on a Torah level, there is a Zika there called Paga Bachota Zukukato. If he takes the sister, right, he violates the Zika that exists with the Isser Mitzvah, right? So Sagadai Tachamina, I might have thought Mishu Mitzvah Avod Rabbanan. Because of the Mitzvah of Yibum, the rabbis made an exception because the whole prohibition of the sister of this Zakuka by an Isser Mitzvah is only the Rabbanan. Kamash Malan. right? This is there's what to talk about here, in terms of it, the when the rabbis, there's an idea called to tikkun rabbanan ke'ein d'oraisa tikkun, that when the rabbis would institute rabbinic prohibitions, that they would model them after the the logic, the internal logic of that halachic construct, as it would apply to a d'oraisa. However, on the other hand, we have this other idea, a little bit of a conflict. On the one hand, we say kol d'rabbanan kein d'oraisa tikkun. On the other hand, we say hey mamru v'hey mamru. Right? If the rabbis made it up, right, not in a, you know, not in a derogatory fashion, but if the rabbis created, we had this by Tuma, remember in Chagiga, the end of Chagiga, we talked about various types of Tuma and how, you know, it seemed, it did, there was no, when it came to Tuma Drabanan, there wasn't necessarily a logic, even though Tuma and Tara is very difficult, there's usually rules that apply. And here it seemed to like the rabbis were willing to create new rules, right? Like in the during the Shalosh Regalim, there was the one set of rules, and at other times there was a different set of rules. And basically, what we said is because the rabbis were the ones that instituted the Tuma Drabanan, they were allowed to shape it in whatever way they deemed necessary. And so here we were the Havamina is that the same would apply by an Isser Mitzvah, where the rabbis are the ones that said that on a Torah level, really, you could do Yibum with this woman. It's the rabbis who came along who said you can't. So when it's a Torah level prohibition to do Yibum, not only can you not do Yibum with her, but you can't do Yibum with her sister. Do we say that logic extends by an Isser, by the Achot Isser Mitzvah? Do we say that applies by the prohibition of Yibum when it's only on a Derabbanan level? Okay. Two dots on the top of Chav Ches Amud Beis. Ha'isa Achas Mehen. Right? If one of the sisters, if each of the sisters was prohibited to one of the surviving brothers as an erva, right? They can each marry the other one. That's not prohibited to him, but prohibited to her. And we explained because in that case, they don't have two Yavamos that come to her them at the same time, right? Because since one's an erva and the other one's not related to them at all, then the one that's not related to them at all can undergo Yibum, full Yibum, and vice versa. Each one can do Yibum on the widow who is not an erva to him. So Hatulamali, again, the Gemara seems consistent on trying to understand why we need each of the cases in the Mishnah. Why do you need this case? Hanuach. It's the same as the previous case. Ma'ali l'chad, ma'ali l'trei. Right? We had a case where there was one brother who came into contact with an Isser Mitzvah and the sister of an Isser Mitzvah. And now we have two brothers who are coming into contact with Ervas, one of whom can undergo Yibum with one whom he can't. Right, so why do you need both cases? So tzricha, this will sound familiar. Diashmin and Hasam, if we only had the case where one of the sisters was an erva to one of the brothers, I would have said that we allow him to marry the other sister, mishum dikasheni demuchach, because the second brother who doesn't marry the erva proves that that the general rule that you're not allowed to take the sister of Achot Zekuka. But in our case, Lekasheni Dekamuchach, each of the brothers allowed to marry one of the sisters, Emelo. I might say that we don't allow them to do something permissible because the optics will lead people to think that that a different case is permissible. If I allowed it where two sisters can do Yibum with two brothers, one of which is an erva to the other one, adraba, tarvayu muchi adadi, right? I would have said that the reason why we allow this case is because it's clear that neither of the yavamas that the brother marries, that the brothers marry, is an erva at all. Aval idach lo. But in our case, where there is one brother who's an erva to one of the sisters, we might think that's different, and therefore tzricha, right? So it's building it out, and we're going to see that in the last case before the Mishnah, it builds it out big time, right? So if you add a layer, right, you add a brother, or you add a sister, or you add a sister to the Isser Mitzvah, we see that each of these cases, we worry that if we had only listed one of these cases, it would have led to a misunderstanding in terms of the extent to which this permission is given. So he says, Zuhi Shamra, Shamru, right next two dots. Five lines after it gets really wide in the Gemara. Zuhi Shamru, this is the case where it says the sister who is also a Yavama, right, to her sister the Yavama, can do Chalitza or Yibum. Right, Zui Lemute Mai, right, because each one is a, right, it's where two brothers have two sisters to do Yibum with, and each of the sisters is an erva to one of them. So Zui Lemute Mai, what is the expression Zu? We know that Zeh is this is the case that we allow Chalitza or Yibum. What does it come to exclude? Lemute Yisr Mitzvah Lezeh, Yisr Mitzvah Lezeh. Comes to exclude a case where where one of the sisters is prohibited by an Isser Mitzvah to one brother, and one is prohibited by an Isser Mitzvah to the other brother, right? In that case, you can't do Yibum. If it's an Erva, if each of the brothers is an Erva to one of the sisters, you can do Yibum with the other one, but if each of them is an Isser Mitzvah, you do not allow them, right? So the Rabbanon were more Machmir than on a Diyaraisa. Hasulamali, why is this needed? Hanuach, right? This is the same as what we said earlier. What difference does it make if two sisters are Isure Mitzvah to two brothers, or one sister is Isur Mitzvah to one brother? And either we say you need Chalitza. Right, so Mali Lachan, Mali Latrei. What difference does it make if you have one sister who's an Isser Mitzvah or two sisters that are Isser Mitzvah to both brothers? No matter how you cut it, you have to do Chalitza, you can't do Yibum. So now we explain why we need this case. We need the case of one and two, right? Keeps expanding out. Mao de Tema, Kilominanoki, Isser Mitzvah, Malkom Isser Erva. When do we not say, right, like we said earlier, the prohibition of the Isser Mitzvah remains in the place of an the Isser Erva, right? When do we say that? Hey, Chadik, Elamigzer Mishum Sheni. Where there's another brother who needs to do Chalitza on the second Isser Mitzvah and not do Yibam. Hey, Chadik, Elamigzer Mishum Sheni. But if there's no second brother, Ema, you might say, Lahayu Kimne Isser Mitzvah Malkom Isser Erva. Just for one brother, right? In this case, we let the Isser Mitzvah stand, right? In the place of Erva. Lahayu Kimne Isser Mitzvah Malkom Isser Erva. And for the other brother, we allow it, Liavnu. And both of them can perform Yibam, Kamash Malan, that even in that case, Yibum is prohibited. In other words, we should treat the Isser Mitzvah fully like an Isser Erva, where we allow the brother who's not an Isser Erva to that woman to do Yibum with the sister. We say no, that the Isser Mitzvah is more chamor, and we don't allow that to happen. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav.
Um,
Kulan ani kori behen. In all of these cases, what are all of these cases? Rashi says, in all 15 arayot in the first Mishnah, I could apply the Mishnah's teaching, right? If any of these arayot also have a sister, right, that was married to a different brother and both brothers die, and now you have two other brothers, one of whom has an erva relationship with one of the widows, and the sister, there is no erva relationship. I can apply what I said, asur lezeh mutar lezeh. The sister prohibited to the brother through erva is permitted to the other brother. And this is the case where sister, who is also a yevama, right, from a different brother who died, can do chalitza or yibum, right? So what we've been talking about, we were talking about isur mitzvah, but more generally, we're talking about an erva. He says it applies to all 15 ervas from the first Mishnah in Yevamos. And the question is, what exactly does this mean? And the rest of the Gemara is going to try to understand this statement. Rav Yehuda Matargim Bechamotov Eilach. Remember, there was differences of opinion how we treat all 15 arayos. Are they exactly the same? Is there a difference between the first six and the rest of the list? Are there exceptions in that list that are not exactly the same? Is Bito the same as all the other arayot? And so that's going to come back into play here. Rav Yehuda Matargim Mechamot Avelach. Rav Yehuda understood this statement of Rav Chia to apply only from mother-in-law and all. Well, she did the Beresha lo. But the first six cases mentioned in the Mishnah, daughter, granddaughter, right from the daughter side or from the son side, right? The wife, the stepdaughter, the step granddaughter on either side, that there it does not apply. And in those cases, right? In those cases, it does not. You can't do yibum or chalit. You can't do yibum. You have to do chalitza. My time, huh? Kevin to bito ba'onsin hundu mishkachasla. Since the case involving a daughter can only occur outside of marriage, right? B'nisuin lo mishkachasla, but it cannot occur with a daughter born in marriage, right? We had talked about this earlier, right? Where you have so the case here would be right. The only way that this all plays out would be if Reuven and Shimon had a daughter with the same woman. And obviously that can't happen legitimately, because once you're married, once a woman's married to Reuven, she's not allowed to marry Shimon. So that the only way that this case could have occurred is outside of marriage. But minisuin kamairi, because the Mishnah was dealing with constructs where one could do chalitza or yibum, where the relationships that created these situations was through matrimony. Bonesin, lokamairi, do not deal with cases where the child was born out of wedlock. So that's what we under, that's how, when Rav Chia says that you could apply the general concept that we created here of chosa sheyivimta ochaletzet umitya bemet, that the sister of the yevama can undergo chalitz or yibam only in cases that don't include a daughter, because that only exists. You can only create that scenario outside of marriage. Rabbi Matagim Af Bito. Abaye says no, even those first six cases where it's a daughter, or a daughter, a stepdaughter, a step granddaughter, Manusato, right? And specifically, not only is it, right, where it was outside of marriage. Came in the Ashkuchi Mishkachatz law, since you could have a daughter involved, if we have to say that the only case where Rav Chiya's rule applies is with Onsin, right? As long as there's some case to which a daughter works, then we can include it, right? So what's what's that case? So in the art scroll note, it gives the case of where the daughter would be involved, right? Four brothers, and two of the brothers have a daughter by the same woman. These daughters are maternal sisters. And the daughters marry their uncles. So when those uncles die, Reuven's daughter and Shimon's daughter fall to Reuven and Shimon for Yibam. What are they talking? Okay. Reuven's daughter is forbidden to him, but permitted to Shimon. And Shimon's daughter is forbidden to him, but permitted to Reuven. So each of the maternal sisters is permitted to one of the brothers, the one who is not her own father. Interesting, right? So there's a machlokas in that case. Abaye says, yes, in that case, there would be the rule of Rav Chiya would apply. And Rav Yehuda says, no, the rule of Rav Chiya does not apply except where there was that these sisters were conceived in wedlock. Okay. Aval Ashes Ish Lohaya Bolamo. Oh, in case this wasn't confusing enough, we're going to come back to Ashes Ish Lohaya Bolamo, right? The non-contemporary brother. The wife of the non-contemporary brother. Lo, right? Rav Chiya's statement does not apply, right? That which is permissible to one is not, right? That statement which we had before, right? That something that's permissible to one is that you could do Yibam or Chalitza. That doesn't apply to the wife of the non-contemporary, the wife of the non-contemporary brother. Kevin Deli Rav Shimon Hu Demishkachas La, because it's only according to Rav Shimon where that case would be able to be found. What would Deli Rabbanan Lo Mishkachas La? And the Plug Delo Kamayri, Rav Chiya was only dealing with cases that everyone agreed to, right? So, right, the statement of Rav Chiya that the sister of the Avama would be permissible for Chalitza or Yibam doesn't apply to the wife of the non-contemporary brother. And we'll deal with that in a second because Rav Safra, Mitagim Afeshiz Yishloya Volamo, right? That Rav Chiya, who says that Yibam or Chalitza can take place, even applies to the wife of the non-contemporary brother. Mishkachasla b'shisa ache. Right, here we go. We'll finish on this note. Six brother, right? We dealt with one brother who's the only surviving brother. We dealt with two brothers to start. Right, that's the same. We dealt with three brothers, four brothers, five brothers. We're up to six brothers. What's that case? Believe the Rav Shimon, v'simnach. Mace, Nolad V'Yibim, Mace, Nolad V'Yibim. Right, what's the case? Here we go. So Reuven V'Shimon Nisuin Shtei Achayot. Reuven and Shimon married two sisters. Levi V'Yehuda Nisuin Shtei Nachriot. Levi and Yehuda, the brothers number three and four, are married to two other women. They're married to two other women who are not related. Outside the family, right? So at this point, you have four brothers that are alive. the last two brothers we're going to deal with have yet to be born. Mace Ruvain. Ruvain dies, right? He's married to a sister. And at that point, Nolad Yisachar. Yisachar is born after Ruvain dies, right? So Yisachar is a non-contemporary brother to Ruvain. V'yibem Levi. Levi, who is married to a non-relative, goes ahead and does Yibum with Ruvain's wife. Fine enough, right? May Shimon. Shimon, who's married to Ruvain's wife's sister, dies. And at that point, Nolad Zevulun, right? Zevulun is born and is not contemporary with Ruvain and Shimon, for that matter. V'yibem Yehuda. And Yehuda comes along, right? Levi and Yehuda, Ruvain and Shimon were married to sisters. Levi and Yehuda were not married to sisters. Ruvain dies. Levi goes ahead and does Yibum with Ruvain's wife. Shimon dies. And Yehuda comes along and does Yibum with Shimon's wife. And in the interim, after the brothers die, these other two brothers are born to their father, Yaakov, right? Namely, Yisachar and Zevulun. Mesu Levi V'Yehuda Belobanim, and then it's a tragedy, right? Ruvain and Shimon died without children, so Levi and Yehuda came along and did Yibum on the wife of each of them, and then Levi and Yehuda also die without children. So what happens? V'Nafalu Kamei Yisachar Zevulun. So these, how many women are we dealing with? Let's say four women, right? Ruvain, we have Levi's original wife and Levi's Yavama, who was Ruvain's wife originally. And you have Yehuda's original wife and Yehuda's Yavama, who was originally Shimon's wife, right? And now all of these women fall to Yisachar and Zevulun in order to do that. And they have to do, so the question is, do they have to do Yibum or not? They were alive when for Levi and Yehuda's first wives, but the there was no relationship. The marriage originally to Ruvain and Shimon was before they were born. So what happens there? V'naflu kamei Yisachar Zevulun. Hasur lazeh mutaras lazeh. Right, because you have sisters involved here, right? Ruvain and Shimon's widows, who are now Levi and Yehuda's widows, are sisters. So asur lazeh mutaras lazeh, the one who's forbidden to one of the to one of them is permitted to the other one. Asur lazeh mutaras lazeh, v'achosu sheyivimta. Right, and this is the case. Right, where you could do either Yibum or Chalitza, right? And where Yisachar and Zevulun can do Yibum or Chalitza with one of the sisters, right? Who's also a Yavama, and that statement of Rav Chiya applies even to the non-contemporary brother situation. So the Gemara asks, Lomali Yibem Yehuda. Why do you have this second? You have Ruvain and Shimon, and then you have Levi and Yehuda, and then you have Yisachar and Zevulun, right? So these Ruvain and Shimon's wives, who are sisters with one another, undergo Yibum twice. Why do we have to have that second Yibum? Lo Yibum Yehuda Namish Kachasla. Even if Yehuda did not do Yibum, you would be allowed to apply this, right? Shimon's widow is forbidden to Zevulun and permitted to Yisachar. You don't need a second Yibum layer involved. So we say, no, we want it for Mishum Tzara, for the co-wife, right? Even if Yehuda had been married, right? Because Rav Chiya is applying our first Mishnah to the case, to this case of chaletzes omes yavemes, and the first case, the first Mishnah in the Masechta dealt with not only Ervas, but also Tsaros, the co-wives of Ervas. So Hatinach Tsara. Tsara, right? So to create their, for Yisachar and Zvulun, to have both a Yavama and a Tsara, that's an Erva, and a Tsara, right? You have to not only there be Reuven and Shimon, but Levi and Yehuda. So Hatinach Tsara, that works for the Tsara, right? The second wife in each case. But Tsara the Tsara, Ma'ikil Amemar, but two Tsaras, co-wives, which is also mentioned in the first Mishnah Yevamos. Where do you have that in the case of, in the non-contemporary brother case? And how would Reb Chiya apply his statement where there would be, where it would apply to Tsaros to Tsaros? Right, two levels of Tsaros. Kigon, Dahadar, Vivim, Naonami, God, Vasher. It's a good thing we had 12 tribes, because the way you get not only the Ervas, and not only the Tsaras, and not only the Tsaras, but if you add another two brothers. So now you have eight brothers, right? And you have them dying, requiring their wives to undergo Yibam. Finally, you get to God and Asher, who have not only the Ervas, namely the non-contemporary, the wife of the non-contemporary brother, but you also have Tsaros, and Tsaros, all of whom are requiring of Yibam. And Reb Chiya says that whichever one, even though there is one Erva involved, so Yisachar and Zvulun, or God and Asher, can't do Yibam with that wife of the non-contemporary brother, he would be allowed to do Yibam with the sister or with the co-wives. Okay, I think we will stop there. We went to the Mishnah. We'll pick up on the next Mishnah next time. Okay, have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Take care, bye-bye.